last week we talked about John the Baptist and this picture of leadership that we see in the way that Jesus contrasted John the Baptist with people who lead in the church, well, in the community of faith at the time. I think it parallels to what we're doing here today. Come down to the Jordan or come to Alva Baptist Church over there on Brook Street, right? So whichever the river or the brook, here we are and we gathered before the Lord. Now today I think we talk about leadership, hospitality, worship. Think about those words and think about what you think about the church when you think about those words. Leadership, hospitality, worship. What is that like when you come into a church? And when you look around and say, how does this place run? What are you looking for when you look for those things? Jesus said, you know, John the Baptist, not like a reed, right, blowing in the wind. Did you come out to see someone in fine clothing? No, those people don't hang out here, right? It's not even about the celebrity of someone like John the Baptist, who's dressed weird and has a look, some authentic look that people say, boy, that's a prophet. You know, go on, give it to him, John, right? So, I mean, there's not pulpit pounding going on here. But as we open the scripture and we look at Luke chapter 7, look at what it says starting around verse 36. All right? It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went on to the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Do you know this story? This story, you'll find some story like this in every gospel. But as you look at the different stories in the different Gospels, I think there were at least three occurrences where this type of thing happened. Somebody coming, a woman of sort of ill repute or not highly esteemed in the community, fawning over Jesus Christ. And people going, why is it like that? You know? So here you don't have the woman's name in Luke. And then in other Gospels you do. Here you have a vial of an alabaster flask, right? In another place, you have a pound of spikenard. Here you have her anointing his feet. In another place, you have her anointing his head. Here in Luke, it happens in the early bit of Jesus Christ's ministry. Matthew, Mark, and John all speak of something later on, close to the crucifixion. I think two of them speak of actually days before the crucifixion, and I think that John speaks of sort of around Palm Sunday, before Palm Sunday. So it's interesting, really, if you contrast in the notes in your Bibles, when you find these things, you get different details. Now, if Luke says she washed his feet, and another person says a person anointed Jesus' head, you either have to take the stories and fold them over each other and say, well, it must have done his head and his feet that day, right? But Luke tells us this is while Jesus is still traveling around the Galilee, right? But over there in the other Gospels, they say this last week of Jesus' life, this is what happened. So I don't think you can say this is the same thing. That's just trivia. But you have to deal with, you people who read Bibles, I'm one of you, when we read this, when it seems like there's contradictions, there cannot be. This is the inspired Word of God. This isn't a fallible human document with people who didn't quite get it straight, who said it the best they could explain, and so we have these historical documents, but meh, you know, God's in there somewhere. That's not what that is. These are men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit who put pen to paper so that you could know something about God. God cares about this message so much. He wants you to get it. So, here's this woman, and there's a specific story that you need to pay attention to in Luke. That's what we're reading. So instead of say, oh, well, I know about that because you've heard it before, listen to what it says. Okay? A sinner learned that Jesus was there and came prepared with ointment. So somebody showed up to anoint Jesus. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Right? What makes you weep? What is a thing strong enough in this life for you, a person, to weep, to come to tears? Some of us are harder than others. This woman, this sinner, this woman who's had a hard life, is brought to tears. What do you experience so deeply that it makes you weep? Right? We don't need to guess why this woman is weeping. I think the text will inform us. How much weeping wets your face? Like, how much do you have to cry before you need to wipe it away? And how much do you need to cry before there's so much coming that you're washing someone's feet with your tears? Okay? This is not kind of like, right? It's not. This is some sort of, this is gushing, snotty mess. Okay? You just have to recognize that. It is overwhelming, abundant, and generous expression of emotion. Is that acceptable in this church? It was acceptable to Jesus Christ at a dinner party in front of people. Do you break out in worship at dinner parties? Would you ever say, praise the Lord, what God has done? That's a little bit too much. I mean, we're, you know, keep it together, right? This woman's on the floor crying. And, you know, there's other stuff, right? We probably take flannels for granted too. I mean, are you glad when you have like paper towels, right? And this lady, she's given nothing. She's got her hair. No paper towels. She uses her hair. Now, do you remember this scripture? If a woman has long hair, it is her glory. For her hair is given to her for a covering, right? So here is the most glorious part of her body caring for the lowest part of his. Here I am, weeping on this guy's feet, anointing his stinky feet. You know, I mean smelly feet, like sandal foot, okay? Like walking around in hot, hot desert, the part where your foot hits the flip-flop, and then, boy, okay? Washing his feet with her tears, and nothing to wipe it up with but her hair. That's a bit skanky. I don't know about you, but what's the hair got to be like? Is that the hair that you go home with? I have to go to work now, you know? It's, I mean, really, this is a disposed situation. What's going to happen now? She brought her treasure with her to Simon the Pharisee's home. This is Simon the Pharisee, not Simon the leper. Two different stories about a woman who's anointing Jesus. Simon the Pharisee's home, and Jesus was her ticket into the house with a throng of people, wasn't he? There was a big party, everybody's in, now she's in. And she had access to the Rabbi Jesus, and as we shall see, she tended to the guest as the host had not. Okay? She took care of Jesus in a way that his host ought to have. This is the body of Christ at work, getting needs met when some other figurehead who people might have looked to get the job done wasn't doing that. I imagine he was doing other things, but Jesus didn't get treated the way maybe people would have expected Jesus should have been treated by that person, but there he was met by that person. So you see, the job's getting done anyway, and look who God uses to do it. So do you look for professionals to do the work? Here in the church, who are the professionals? Are they the deacons? And should they ought to have taken care of that? Why is that there like that? Who takes care of this place? But what about, oh, that's there. Who takes care of this? It must be me. I shall go over there and do it. This woman, who takes care of this guy's feet? It will be me. She brought a flask of oil, but nobody had washed Jesus' feet.